Hey, Short Porch listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter.
Deep to left, it's on its way, there it goes, and the Yankees are going to the World Series!
All right, here comes the judge. It is Glaber Day, and he is the Glaber of the Month.
Ball game over, Yankees win! The Yankees win!
What's up? What's happening? Welcome to another edition of the Short Porch presented by Barstool Sports. I'm your host, Hubs. On the other side, they're in like the rooms next to me. Tommy Smokes, Tom Spilly, Marty Mush. We're doing a podcast. A little end of May, heading into June. Can't believe it's almost June. Podcast. Yankees. It's been a roller coaster of a year, as expected, as every godforsaken year is. But first of all, how are we doing? Tommy, how was the move?
Moving itself is very easy when you hire other people to move the things for you. Unpacking is a nightmare. I have so many clothes that I just don't wear. Moving is all about setting up your new workflows. So it's like, you know, where I don't have a nightstand, where are my glasses going to go? Where's my remote going to go? When I shower, where does it's all about setting up a workflow. Where does my towel go? Once you get those workflows set up, then it should be fine. But right now it's really just about figuring out my workflows, and I have a lot to buy and a lot to unpack.
We really didn't care that much.
I mean, yeah, I was looking for like, it's cool. It was good. It's nice that like I'm an influencer. People did it for me.
Where's your glasses go? Where did it go in the last apartment?
I had a nightstand.
Why didn't you pack it?
I don't really have room for the nightstand now. Oh. And it was falling apart.
Oh, you don't have
I have
room.
Exposed bricks. So it kind of evened
that's
out.
So over. I don't understand that.
What?
Tommy literally is just trying to live in a 90s sitcom right now that he has brick and he lives in West Village and he does all this. This is all what Tommy wants. He lives in a shoebox, probably.
Your apartment can't be big at all.
It is smaller than where I was living, but it's not. It's honestly, my room has more size than I was anticipating. I fit a bed. I fit a desk.
You fit a bed. That's good. You fit
a dresser. What else do you really need?
Am I wrong? You want to live in a TV show?
Look, guess what? I don't live in my apartment. I live outside the walls of my apartment. I crash at my place.
This sounds like someone who has a small apartment. That's what they
want. That's not where you live. Oh, yeah. Would a guy with a pit be complaining about his apartment? We have a pit, you know, like in The Dark Knight Rises, where it's like a sunroof, but we're calling it the pit. Like you look up in our living room and oh my God, the stars at night when it rains, the pitter patter patter. It's going to be beautiful. And we have
roof. I read there's so much pollution in the sky that we're not going to be seeing stars very soon. So that the stars will
hubs in the building.
I wonder why you're depressed. What the fuck are you reading?
It was on Twitter. I don't know. It could be just completely false. I definitely read that. I also don't know when. I think it might be 50 years, so you're probably fine. All right, let's talk Yankees. 33-23. Kind of see their record, and it's like, that's better than I thought. They've been playing a lot better. They put a very good month of May, short of like a few games against the Orioles. Like, everything was pretty solid. I thought they held their own against the Rays for the most part. Even though they, you know, they blew it, they had some terrible losses mixed in for sure, like the Gerrit Cole blowing a 6-run lead, all that. They went up to Toronto and kicked Toronto's ass when Toronto basically made that their World Series. That was fucking awesome. They started this West Coast trip good. They wrapped up the Padres, which they needed to do. There's definitely some negatives, but like overall, six back of Tampa after how they basically didn't lose a game in April. And they like haven't lost the game. They're 26-6 at home, Tampa.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Pretty good.
Let me ask you a question. Have the Yankees been playing their best baseball this entire year? Yes or no?
Wait, so like to this point?
No, like the beginning of the year was a disaster. It was like, we might suck. We don't know. The Yankees are playing very good baseball now, but we haven't even reached like Giancarlo hasn't been playing like. Judge was out for a little bit. Like, their Bader was out for a while. Like, which is unfortunate. But
no, I'd say no, because Rodana's in here. And if
Rodana's not here.
Yeah.
I don't think we can play that game of wait till everyone's healthy because it never.
No.
But he's asking, do you think this is the best they're good? Like, right now, this month, do you think this is the best they're going to play all year? I don't think so.
Maybe.
I don't think so. But the Yankees have the fifth or sixth best record in the MLB. Like, that is like, we're not – this is why like, I don't worry about the Yankees until – Hubs usually says this too, like July 4th. It's like when you start to like – you gauge, like, are we going to be a World Series contender or not? And like, beginning of the season meant nothing. And then now the Yankees are rolling. And we're the fifth or sixth best team in the MLB right now. And we have not played our best baseball. The Yankees are completely fine. And I think, I don't know, I'm starting to like this team now. I'm starting to like, even though Volpe sucks, by the way.
We'll get into him. He's on my list of things.
Sucks.
The biggest thing that the everything started to turn the moment Harrison Bader showed up and came off the IL. Now, we got to see what's going on with his hamstring. I think it's minor, but you never fucking know with this team. Just a guy you can't lose. But the assurance that he gives every fan with the way he patrols center, and then his at-bats have been great. You know, he's not a great hitter by trade, but he certainly can be a solid hitter and will take any of those. I love everything Bader has given us, and there's been just a jolt of life. And then Judge came back a few days after Bader. And then things really started to get on a roll. The pitching is the starting pitching is kind of a mishmash right now. And although Severino's looked awesome, they need Rodon. Rodon's gotten some really good news lately, which is nice. Because for a while I didn't know if he existed. Ben Wartfed exists. A lot has happened. When you talk monthly, a lot of shit happens. But overall, I do think they have better. Their better days are ahead of them. And that is assuming Stan comes back here, sounds like in a week. And even like getting Tommy Canley back, who probably joins them, it seems like, for the Dodger series this weekend. Like, you sub in a Tommy Canley and take out a Cordero or Abreu, that's awesome. Like, I trust Tommy. Like, I know these guys have like spurts of being good, Cordero and Abreu. Don't trust them at all. I trust Tommy Canley when he's going. So, yeah, I know what you're saying, Tommy. Like, you don't want to play that card, but they're about to be back, and that's going to be awesome. And this team will be way more looking like the team we anticipated at the start of the year.
I have never had less read on a team. I feel like usually by this point, you usually have a pretty good feel of like, all right, this team has it. This team doesn't have it. I can't decide on that. Like, there's weeks where, I mean, especially early on, it seems like, all right, this just is not a very good baseball team. There's week, you know, the Toronto series or recently outside of the weekend series where it's like, okay, they seem to be better. You know, they seem to be humming on all cylinders. I do not have a read yet on this team. Maybe that will come as people get back and, you know, we get another month of play. My only read really is that we should just appreciate Aaron Judge as like the greatest baseball player we've ever seen.
It's kind of crazy we've gotten this far without talking about him. What do you say, Martin?
Well, I was going to say that too about Judge, where there's always a concern. He has the best season we've ever seen, like in so long. And then you pay him $400 million and you're like, all right. We've seen it happen to people where they like get the money and then a lot of pressure's on them and they kind of suck, and or like they start off slow and it's like, all right, what's going on here? He is having an unbelievable season. If anything, better than last year, it almost seems like, you know, like at the start, like his fielding is incredible. He seems like he's hitting a home run every night again. I don't think people appreciate him enough. He's the best player in baseball. He is the best player. I know Ohtani pitches, so he'll always, but Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball.
Aaron Judge came off the IL and has had 11 homers, 24 RBIs in 19 games, hitting .357 with a .1377 OPS.
Insane.
Just ridiculous. And the catch last night was...
Right, that's there is a faction of Yankee fans, and there still are. Like, there's like one guy I battle with all the time. It was like, it was a terrible contract. They're gonna listen. The later years of that deal may very well be bad, but the prime years you're getting right now, you can't afford to have him on another team. Could you imagine if he was? We played the Padres this weekend. The Padres offered him $400 million. Could you imagine if he was just on the Padres?
No.
Or the fucking Giants when we opened the year. Like, it is crazy to think what this team is like without him. He is unbelievable. It's so much fun to watch when he's in these types of zones where you just can't pitch to him. And I don't know why people are pitching to him. Like, quite honestly, I have no idea. Like, towards the end, you know, like last year, September, when he was trying to get to the record, team stopped throwing to him, and it was annoying as a fan. But, like, it made sense from a baseball perspective. And these teams, I just don't get why they're doing it right now. Like, you're just going to get burned like they did last night. It's two homers. And I guess part of it might be Rizzo hitting – behind him, because Rizzo's been tremendous. Hopefully that neck injury isn't too bad. Maybe they just like gave him one day because the flight. But Rizzo's been having like a career year with the Yankees at this point. And then you had Stanton was hitting before he got hurt. And, you know, he's got to get started up again, and that might take a little while. But you go Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, with the way these guys look, then you have to pitch the Judge. And that becomes a terrifying combination for pitchers.
There's also not one player in baseball that catches that ball last night.
No one. There's no right, especially right field. There's no right field.
The only person, I think, anyone that could catch that ball.
Yeah. People always go, like, they were saying, like, greatest catch ever, whatever. And Boone was kind of saying that. And Judge was, you know, downplaying it. He was like, it was fine. It's not the greatest catch ever, but man, is it the difficulty of that catch, running full speed to right field, full extension. Half his body is over the fence.
It's not just the best catch ever because he made it look so easy.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
It look like not anyone else doing that's like flailing their arms trying to get that ball. He just like basically did a vertical jump to dunk and caught the ball. Like, it was
that's crazy. A good point. Like, if it was anyone else and they make that catch, it's the greatest catch ever based off the difficulty. But he's so good that, yeah. Usually when he robs one, though, he's usually planted under and he just leaps.
Yeah,
like this was the first like timing one that I've seen
gliding through the air.
It was unbelievable, and who hit the home run? Fucking the former Blue Jay, Teoscar Hernandez, tweeted like, "Why, dude?" Very funny. He's special, man. I like he's truly like a generational talent. Where I said this on, we just posted it on Instagram. Like, he truly is one of those guys where you're going to tell your kids, like, I got to see Aaron Judge in his prime play for the Yankees and do this thing. And, you know, his legacy will eventually be cemented if he wins a World Series. You know, otherwise I'll just be like, he's better than Don Mattingly, but that type of player where he never won. But if he wins and he has all this shit, he's an immortal baseball player. He's a legendary, historic, like, guy who just lives on in the game of baseball forever. Like, that's how good and how amazing it is to see him on a daily basis. Like, you just can't pitch to him anymore, and he's a great fielder. He deserves to have a Gold Glove. I don't know why he doesn't have a Gold Glove yet. He better get one this year, but he's a truly a marvel, and it's no exaggeration whatsoever when you watch him play. It's great. It's a good point, Tommy. Good point.
My dad, who is 66 years old, texted me and said, I'm thinking he may be the best Yankee I have ever seen play. Like, that's how good he is. Like, he's kind of out of the math. Like, he's right. Like,
yeah, I don't know how. I can't do math, but what's What does that mean? What was he was like when he was a kid 15? When
Mantle, he was a kid when Mantle was cooking. He was so, but still, like Mickey Mantle never hit fucking 62 home runs. Like, it's not crazy to say, like.
Now, Mantle was great in the postseason. So, like, that.
Yeah, that still needs to come for Judge.
Yeah, it does. But, like, once he gets that, like, what he, God forbid, for the rest of baseball, he has an A-Rod 09 postseason in him, like, just one time, you can't touch him.
I have a little, whatever. Guess where Aaron Judge's career OPS ranks all time.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I'm gonna guess it's over 9. Top 20.
Marty.
That might have been a bad guess.
I'm gonna say 7.
13.
Okay, so, all right.
13 top 20 all time. That's crazy.
That's insane.
What is it? And is it like, 9 something?
983. It'll probably end up going down because towards the end of your, like, it'll go up for a little bit more hopefully, and then towards the end of his career I'm assuming it'll dip back down.
But
to be 13th right now, he's got, I don't know why I've been tracking this for like the past couple weeks, he just passed McGuire, he's at 983 and Manny Ramirez is next up at 996, so that'll take a while I assume to get to. Mike Trout is 998, by the way. Mike Trout, people who are like, whenever someone's like, oh, Aaron Judge, best player in baseball, and people are like, Trout and Ohtani exist, I can hear the Ohtani argument. I understand that. He literally pitches and hits. Mike Trout has, there is no way he's a better baseball player than Aaron Judge. Like, unless we're talking about 2014, like, we're not in 2014 anymore. Aaron Judge is a better baseball player than Mike Trout, and it's, I think it's, like, clear as day.
Well, currently, right this, definitely.
Right this right. second, like today, yes, 1,000.
Yeah, but like those.
No, I'm not saying overall better career. Dude, I'm saying right those, now, yeah, the better players.
That's fair. That's fair. But those, like his 2017 through 2019 and the years, and there's other years before that, but like he had three straight years with an OPS over 1,050. Like,
yeah, no, I'm not doubting his greatness.
But yeah, right now, no right question. Now. Trout's also.
You know what's annoying? The Ohtani shit's so annoying to me. Where it's like, I know, everyone always has to remind you that he pitches. And like, he always has to remind you how, like, we know he's amazing. But yeah. You're allowed to say Aaron Judge is up there, just because he pitches doesn't mean you can't have an argument.
Ohtani also doesn't play the field. I'm just going to say that. Doesn't play the field.
That's true.
Doesn't play the field. I know Judge doesn't pitch, but Ohtani doesn't play the,
Yeah, see?
He gives up home runs. Judge doesn't, he drops them. Yeah.
I will say I got mad because I want Judge to win a Gold Glove, among other things. They gave him an error like a week ago on a throw home that Higgy dropped, and I'm still mad about it. I know people are going to go back and, like, you know, you look through, oh, error. You know, two, three errors here where they're just bullshit. Don't like that. But, yeah, Aaron Judge, thank you for everything. Please keep this going because it's a lot of fucking fun. That was probably one of the more enjoyable West Coast games I've watched in a long time. Like, usually they like torture you. That was domination. That was a very easy West Coast game to watch.
While we're on the topic of Judge and home runs, I don't want to spend too much time talking about them, but just as a Met hater, something that I've got my eye on, I don't love that Pete Alonso has 20 home runs and is on pace for 60. I do not love that. I know it would. He's like not even on pace, but it reminds me of like in 2017 when Judge hit 52 home runs as a rookie and set the record, and the next year Alonso hit like 53 or 54. That's just something I'm keeping in the tickler file of I do not want to have in September that it even just, be like close to
it. He's too fat though, Tommy. Like Aaron Judge is like strong and can keep doing it. Like he's consistent. Alonso will just in Mets fashion sizzle out and just suck at one point.
You know what I like though? Yes, he has 20 homers, and he's played more games because Judge was on the IL, so he's got a 9 homer start. Despite all this, he's got 20 homers, 46 RBIs. His OPS is only 910, and 910 is great. Judge's is almost 200 points better than that. 1087 to 910. Like, he's almost, despite Pete having, you know, a great year, and Pete was great last year too. You know, the 40 homers and 131 RBIs, whatever. But you just see, like, Judge is such a more complete hitter than Pete Alonso.
Oh, that's not even, like, nobody.
No, it's not debatable. Just, like, furthering the point. Like, Pete Alonso, great home run hitter, no question. Judge is just such a complete hitter compared to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like, even the most delusional Matt fan would admit Judge is the better player. I'm just saying, strictly from the home run perspective.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
It's not keeping me up at night yet, but it's something I have my eye on.
But it's crazy that Judge is what? He's 15?
Who? Just home runs?
17.
So he's three less, and he was hurt for, like, what, 10 games?
Yeah, he's second in, I think he's second in baseball in home runs.
Yeah, that's
he's leading the AL. I think he leads the AL on homers. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, he's something else, man. It's crazy. Yeah, in terms of, like, Tommy, you said, like, the identity, like, I don't know what this team is. It is crazy because, like, they lose those two games to the Orioles in just heartbreak, like, devastating fashion. Like, the way they lost that Wednesday game where they scored, like, 8 runs in the 7th inning was like, what's going on? And then they lose Thursday in a lifeless fashion. And then they lose Friday in a lifeless fashion. And now the last two games, they've scored 10 runs each game. It's like, and in, like, impressive ways too. Like, they had 8 hits in an inning on Sunday. I didn't even think that was possible for this team. 8 hits in one inning. And then yesterday, they just blow the doors off a very good Bryce Miller. To point, as droid teams, like, when he's faced the Yankees, that never happens with the Yankees, where they face a rookie who's been dominating. That's like a seven innings of shutout ball. They didn't even, like, put a guy in second base. They shelled Bryce Miller last night. That was a fun little experience to witness there. But obviously we need Bader to stay healthy. So we talked Judge, state of the team a little bit, injury situation. So Canley Donaldson is looming, and I know that's going to get Marty happy. With Donaldson returning, there is the concern about DJ. DJ has not looked right this month whatsoever. Despite the team playing well, like, he has not. Little concerned about DJ. I don't know what we're going to get out of Donaldson. It almost feels like, to me, Donaldson gets a month, and if he's just miserable, he gets DFA'd, just like Aaron Hicks did, and they just cut bait, and then they bring up Peraza. That would be my
killing.
Killing it.
I feel absolutely so bad for him.
Yeah, he just does not deserve to be down there.
Yeah, there's a guy we could switch him with.
No. Because if you do that, Marty, I guarantee you Volpe would crush in AAA right now.
Maybe we should see. But
no.
Right, you can't do that. Obviously you can't. I'm fucking around. But I wanted to say one thing. It's crazy that, like, the Yankees were 10 games over 500. And they're not – like, you look at some of the guys, like, I think Torres is playing well.
Torres playing great. Glaber's been great.
Rizzo's playing amazing. Judge playing amazing. Baderson was playing great. And then after that, and Calhoun's, I don't know, I like Calhoun.
Yeah, Willie's been nice lately.
I like his name, which gives him a lot of leeway.
I like that he's 5'6". It's hilarious.
Yes, it's funny that he just meshes home runs. He's so small. Besides, like, the rest of our, like, DJ is not playing well, what we just said.
Yeah.
Oswaldo
is probably getting sent down when Stanton returns. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Volpe is not hitting at all. And, like, we're playing, like, IKF. And, like, I know.
Who's hitting?
I was going to say, IKF's recently.
Dude, IKF's been very good the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks here. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. But it's just, like, that's what I'm saying. We're still finding ways to win when, like, it's not like it's everyone's putting it together.
Which Yankee do you think has an OPS of 11-13 in their last 10 games?
IKF.
11-13, and it was possible. 3 homers. But yeah, I agree. Left field has been a complete zero. They've got nothing out of left field. And if Bader's down, they're going to get nothing at a center. I do like at least that Aaron Hicks is no longer in our lives. I like Greg Allen going out there for a little bit. Like, at least I know he's super. He scored last night from first. You, I think it was. Bit. What?
You missed a Hicks a little bit.
Zero.
I kind of miss
hating him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I miss, like, blaming things on him.
Well, did you see what team he ended up on? It happened. It broke right before we started the podcast.
No, what happened?
Orioles picked him up.
Oh, I don't know. He's going to hit a big home run against the Yankees.
Because Cedric Mullins, I think, fucked his groin up or whatever. So that, at least, well, Joe's McFly said that. I think he knows Hicks, so I assume he has the source. But, yeah, he's going to be on the Orioles. But Greg Allen, he scored last night from first on – forget who hit it. Maybe it was at KF's double. And I just – it was – he scored so, – there should have been at least a throw at the plate. There was nothing. He's so fast. I like good vibes with Greg Allen, just very good vibes.
Did you guys realize
yep.
we have the most athletic looking players that are the slowest?
Like who?
Glaber's
always been slow, yeah.
So fast. Oswaldo doesn't move as fast as you would think.
Yep.
I thought he'd be so fucking fast.
Yeah.
There was somebody else I was
Brader is pretty sneaky fast.
Oh yeah,
he's
like he's been stealing now. Obviously, everyone's stealing more than usual, but I feel like he's been stealing way more with the Yankees this year than in prior years. His most stolen bases in the year was 17. He's already at 6. He can get to like 25 or something if he stays healthy.
But just watching the games, I'm like, what the fuck? This guy should
Volpe's fast.
Volpe's so fast. Yeah, gotta get on base.
He's really fast getting into the dugout.
All right, let's talk Volpe. He's been struggling, no doubt. He struggled to start, then adjusted, and now kind of back in that. You know, they moved him back down to 9, which I think is a good place for him right now. Especially if Glaber's going to lead off and play like he has. He's been awesome. Volpe currently standing at a .633 OPS, 7 homers, 21 RBIs, hitting a .98. 13 steals, 0 caught stealing, OPS plus of 75.
War of 1. That's not bad. You extrapolate to a full year, that's a war of 3.
Because overall, he's been a good defender. And
How many errors does he have?
Fielding.
6. Which, honestly, I would have guessed he had more.
Well, why he doesn't? Because of fucking Anthony Rizzo is one of the best first basemen to ever live, and he helps him out a ton.
Yeah,
defensive war, at least per ESPN, I don't know what they use. His defensive war is the highest of anyone on the Yankees.
He makes some really nice plays. And overall, I don't really worry. Like, there's a whole different feel of a ball going to him than IKF last year. Like, a ginormous difference. I'm not worried about him. I like that Hal told him at the beginning of the year, like, you're our guy. You're not going down if you struggle. Like, we're riding with you. I think that helps with confidence, and I think he'll be totally fine. Well,
you say you're not worried.
No.
You have to have a little bit of worrisome, a little bit, where it's like he hasn't gotten it to putting it together at the plate. Like,
it's been 2 months.
We said that after the first month.
It had been a month, dude. It's so.
At what point do you
next year?
Like,
next year.
Next year.
No, but because you have to understand, like, they skipped all AAA with him. They skipped a year of development to just have it here because they know
they get it. No, I do understand. But at one week, there's how long? So your leash is 2 years, you're saying?
I think that's a little long. I would like to, by August, see him at least. His year numbers aren't going to be there. At least in August, I would like to see more like, okay, he's fine.
There's just never going to be a point to me where I think this year you're moving him from short.
Like,
no, I'm not saying you're moving. You're not moving on from him. But
I'm not saying moving on from either, but like at least like, hey, maybe.
Oh, concern. Yeah, sure. I wish he was fucking. Listen, there is something to when I watch his swing, I like wish it wasn't so uppercutty, if that's the word. I wish it was more of a level swing. And you know, I think my concern with him would be he seems to struggle with high fastballs and kind of like breaking balls. But I think he's going to adjust. He's adjusted at every level he's been to. It takes some time. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit more time at the major league level than in triple A, than in double A and single A and all that. But I just think he is too good of a support system. Like, I think Judge is going to fucking, they're coaching him and. I don't know.
What about Peraza? Like, I know we're not going to send Volpe down. I know we're not. Like, is there like a chance like we have him almost like fucking battle it out?
I mean, I will. To be fair, they did that in spring training and Volpe won. So like,
yes, I know. But then it's like, okay,
and if Peraza was in the majors right now and Volpe was at AAA, there's a good chance that Peraza would have the numbers Volpe has, and Volpe would be destroyed.
100%. I'd say both guys don't deserve to be in the minor leagues. None of them should be in the minors.
I take it out on Peraza as well, like where it's like there's – I know it's still kind of early, but he's also – he's had to play, what, 50 games?
Who?
Volpe?
56, yeah.
He's played every game?
Yeah. No. But he's played 56 games. Have they played 56 games?
He played 56.
Oh, so
he probably hasn't started everyone.
Yeah, but he's gotten in.
I'm just saying. 56.
Yeah, he actually got in last night. I didn't even realize it watching the game, but he played defense like the last two innings.
I'd say at 85 games, you have to at least judge him. If he's still at batting 190 and not, and has like 10.
Give him 100 games.
100.
The beauty of him is like.
Bumps is giving him 400 games.
I just like. He's not my concern right now.
He's your new little toy. I understand.
For anyone wondering, by the way, Anthony Volpe said that he doesn't like Marty. That is why Marty is reacting this way.
But I'm actually, I'm obviously doing that a little bit, but also, like, I Hubs is right. His swing sometimes, it's like he's not even close, and he just isn't having these good at-bats where he was a little. I saw that little stint he had where we were like, oh, shit. This is who Volpe is. He isn't even having those great at bats anymore. That's why I was I was a little concerned.
When you fucking struggle in the majors, it's going to get in your head, and they have to that dugout, that clubhouse needs to do their best to try and make sure that's not happening. Because like when he, you know, when he's had bad at bats, they don't look great. You know, they look like what the fuck's going on here. But his hot stretch that he had after his immediate struggles early on. Made me think like, okay, he's going to be fine. He will adjust. Now he's in another struggle fest. When he gets going again, we'll feel but great.
He is being helped out. He's being helped out by the team where no one on the Yankee fans aren't concerned honing in on him because they're winning. They're playing good baseball. So that is also helping him where if we sucked, people will be looking at anybody to blame and be like, oh, this guy is struggling right now. So right now he still has a lot of leeway with fans and everything. So he shouldn't be panicking yet.
I do also think part of his struggles, and not to give him an excuse or anything, but when there were so many injuries going on, then he was being forced to basically lead off because like if we put him anywhere else, then I don't know who we would have thrown up there. Like Gleyber wasn't smoking the ball at the time. Now he is. And he kind of settled in there. But being forced to be the leadoff guy when he probably shouldn't, and he probably should have hit in the lower third of the lineup, which is where he's going to be right now, that probably is going to help, like, alleviate some stress and pressure, I would guess.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like he was doing, like, when he was doing better, he was hitting leadoff.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought like he was, like, getting on base, stealing more when he was leading off.
We can see his splits. Let's see, based off of where he's been hitting. So, batting first, he's... In 25 games, 110 plate appearances, 212 hitter, 291 on base, 675 OPS. Batting seventh, 242, 297, 843 OPS. Batting ninth, 163, 280, 49 OPS. So seventh has been the lucky combination.
That's like a made like
seventh. It definitely is. But he's
if
not
you combine seventh and ninth together, which is kind of how I would do it,
then you get probably 675. Yeah.
No, you'd get lower. You would get probably like 580 or something because if his overall OPS is 630.
Yeah. You're probably
his
right.
One's batting leadoff is 675, then it has to, balance out.
Yeah. But like I'm saying, like leadoff, like he wasn't like completely setting the world on fire, but I just want that OPS. It's sad because that's not a good number to have, but I want his OPS to get over 700 and then I feel good. Like I feel
like his average to be like 220 even.
Yeah.
It's just when you see the ones, it's
I know it's ugly. It's definitely ugly. It's not something you want. It was a couple days ago, it was 215 or something like that. I was like, okay, I can deal with this for now. But 198, you don't want it to be in the ones. Get over the twos. I just saw Rizzo not playing again tonight. And Bader going to definitely be out of a few games, could be an IL. So
I love that's not. But he's, he's just got to stay healthy.
I know. He's almost like 200% all the time. Like he's, Like, he was trying to hustle out that ground ball yesterday, and he beat it out. And it's like, I almost wish he wasn't running as hard. But that's tough to say, because you want people running hard. Actually, we talked offense. I want to kind of do a state of the rotation, and then maybe a quick bullpen trust tree, because people seem to love those. Overall concern about Gerrit Cole. Had a very good April, obviously. I'm not terribly concerned, but his whiff percentage is like the lowest it's been in a long fucking time. And the home runs have kind of came back a little bit here. He's already up to 8 homers after not giving up a homer, I feel like, in his first, what, 5 or 6 starts. Just a little concerned. He's still 6-0 and wins need nothing, but the ERA is still, what, 2.9 or something? Yeah,
something around
2.93, which is what you don't want it to be above 3. But his last, let's see here, last 5 starts, he's 27 innings, 17 earned runs, 8 homers, ERA 5.67. Now, mixed into those starts, you had a pretty good, his one following the Tampa Bay implosion was fine, only went 5 innings. Then he got 6 shut out in Toronto. What I remember, he didn't have his best stuff there, and he kind of battled. And his last 2, Baltimore and San Diego, haven't been good. He's allowed to have bad starts. Every starting pitcher has bad starts, every single one of them. But is there a little concern?
Not concerned, more like disappointed. Or just, like, I thought there was a – not to be like I'm not mad and disappointed, but more like I thought there was a chance this was going to be like Gerrit Cole goes the whole year. It's just clearly the best pitcher in baseball, like gets a Cy Young. Pitches to like an ERA of low 2s, high 1s even. And it seems like this kind of just is who Gerrit Cole is now. He's still a really, really good pitcher, but he's not like shutdown ace 2019 Cole. Like, I don't think, I mean, he'll have those starts, but yeah. I don't think he's ever going to maybe consistently be that, unfortunately. But he's still obviously like, you still feel good when he takes the mound. But yeah, there are going to be starts where he gets dinged up a little bit like that.
Yeah, people.
Unfathomable when he was on Houston that year. Like, now it's like kind of just a reality.
There were some people like, oh, he can't pitch against good teams. He shut out the Blue Jays twice this year, shut out the Twins for an entire game, and held the Texas Rangers in Texas to 2 runs and 6 2/3. That's pretty good for me. Like, I don't think I'm concerned. Like, it's not like he's just beating up on the Reds every start. He's had very good starts this year against very good teams and very good offenses. Maybe not the Blue Jays are a good team, but they're a good offense. So my overall concern is like a 4 right now.
I'm not concerned at all. The home run thing is annoying. It's happening.
Yeah.
Way too much, but I think what Tommy says was disappointing, because at first with like this, I had this whole idea in my head that this pitch clock has made him the best pitcher of all time again, because he could just keep going and going and going, and he's still pitching really well. Just he's in a little like is he still like undefeated? Like, I know,
yeah, he's 6-0. Yeah,
like we're still fine. It's a little concerning, but nothing like to be too mad at yet.
What do you think about the narrative? Now it's super short sample size, but with Trevino catching, who's I think back in a day or two, it seems like. 62 innings with Trevino this year, 2.01 ERA. 2 starts with Higashioka, 11 innings, and 8.18 ERA. Now that's 2 starts to 10. And the narrative, you know, was it 2 years ago with Higgy had to be his personal catcher instead of Gary? But now Higgy's bad for him. It's like...
Well, you know, I think you would have been a better option than Gary. So, sure. Like, I think that, like, it's nothing to do with Higgy. I think that you pitchers 1,000% get comfortable with a catcher. And then, like, once you move it, it does fuck you. It sounds stupid because it's the same exact thing, especially when they're 2 good catchers. But it really does fuck with you a little bit. And I think it holds a lot of weight, actually.
I
think you would hope that a $324 million pitcher doesn't need personal catchers, but it seems like that kind of is a thing with Cole. So yeah, maybe with Trevino, he'll be that, like, but
that's like, at least something like we can look at, like, okay, like this is positive at least. Like, okay, he's not, maybe.
And we know it has been a thing with him in the past.
Right. So
this is going to sound stupid, but like
I don't believe it.
When I pitched back in the day, I loved a huskier catcher.
I like the big guy.
Yeah, Trevino is a huskier catcher than Higashioka. So Higashioka's got a smaller – the huskier guy's got a bigger target. Like, you feel more comfortable.
100%.
I actually agree with that.
I totally agree with that.
That might be a thing with him.
Higgy is too skinny to be Cole's catcher.
You see too many spots where the ball can go. Like, you see too much of the back of the – behind the plate from him.
I don't hate that at all. You said way dumber things than that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on from Cole, because like we're okay, that's fine. He'll be okay. Nestor. Now Nestor pitched well in his last start and then kind of got left out for too long. It seemed like, do we have to worry about, can he even, is he just a 5-6 inning pitcher now? And like, we don't even entertain the seventh, because it seems like when he faces a lineup for the third time, it does not, he's a 5-3 ERA as we speak right now. He pitches tonight against Seattle. I'm more concerned about Nestor. At this point.
Yeah, I mean, as the biggest Nestor guy there is, I still have faith in him. And it's like, we have seen him, like, for 40-plus starts between 2021 and 2022, be very good, lights out, be a sub-3 pitcher who can pitch 7 innings. So we know it's in him. But, yeah, there's definitely more concern with him than with Cole.
Do you think we caught lightning in a bottle?
I don't.
It went too long for it
right,
to be that
that's
way.
This wasn't Sean Chacon, Aaron Small, who had like 2 or 3 good months. Like, he had a year and a half good. True. Like, you can't just. I don't know. To me, I mean, look, he is somebody that if it's a couple more months of this, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, we're in trouble. But it had, like, he started off the year fine.
Yeah, but his last 6.97 ERA.
Yeah, that's not good.
24 earned runs in 31 innings.
That's really bad, actually.
Opponents are slugging OPS 854 for opponents.
You don't have to keep going with the bad stats.
Yeah, there's no good stats.
He's had 1, 2, 3.
He's always really bad.
He's had 10 starts this year, and he's only allowed more than 3 runs in 3 of them. So spin zone, that sounds pretty good.
I know Clay Holmes has been like better, but yeah, like, it was like Clay Holmes in the beginning of the season last year, where like, holy shit, this is Mariano Rivera. And then second half of the season, you realized he was on the Pirates for a reason. They didn't really.
I think it's a little different.
Clay Holmes had like, I don't think it's 2 good months.
Yet. Yeah, I don't think it's happening yet with Nestor. Like, if it kept it up, it's like, oh well, this is the actual Nestor. He got hot at the for a long time. But I agree, a year and a half is a big sample size to be good.
What I will say is, with full health, and they're one starter away, at least, well, fuck Montas, but they're one starter away when Rodon comes back, and I assume will be late June, early July.
I forgot about Montas.
Montas.
You just said that name. I was like, what?
Wait till we get like an August tweet from like a reporter saying like Montas is going to try and pitch at the end of the year. And we're just like, no, fuck off.
I saw a tweet yesterday that mentioned Frankie Montas, and I legitimately had like a second in my brain where I was like, Frankie Montas, why do I know that name?
That's what I said in my head. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about him. But what you just said is wrong, Hubs, because we're so dumb. When we see that tweet, be like, man, we can add Frankie Montas. We're going to convince ourselves back that he was like Frankie Montas.
Yeah.
That fuck.
But I will say, what I was getting at is Nestor, in the grand scheme of things, is our number 4.
Yeah.
You go, you know, Cole, Rodon, Seve, and then Nestor. So it's like, we don't even need Nestor to really be the guy he's been the last year and a half. We just need like some combination of that, you know, somewhere in the middle of what we're seeing right now and that. And we get like a 3.54 ERA pitcher, and that's okay. I just can't have Nestor be a 5.5 ERA pitcher. That can't happen.
Yeah.
Let's just get that down somewhere in the middle here. And I can deal with that. And to the next point, Severino, it's only been 2 starts, and we know this guy's a fucking glass. And any moment, if the wind blows a different direction, he can get hurt. But my God, has this guy looked like us? Like, and maybe it's a contract year thing, similar to Judge, because he is up at the end of the year. But this is a really cool version of Severino.
I think he's going to be a monster. He is a guy that's going to have a big contract year. Like, he's a guy that's always, I feel like, performed well under the bright lights. Like, he's had good playoff starts. Like, I think he does outside of the, you know, the one wild card Twins one. Yeah. Like, for the most part, he's good with pressure. And, you know, it's a lot of pressure every start this year to a degree for him, where it's like, yeah, I need to prove that if I want $100 million or more, even, you know, I need to be good in addition to staying healthy. So I think as long as he's healthy, he's going to be dynamic.
His stuff looks great. Like, it's playing insane. The fastball jumps. Like, he's just looked, it's been the Reds and Padres. And you know, Reds aren't the greatest team in the world, obviously, but that Padre lineup is scary. And they, and I don't think he faced, did he face Soto? I think he did face Soto. Soto was out the next game. He looked really good. I was very, very happy with what I saw from Sevy. I was in person for that one, so that was fun. But yeah, I really hope this continues, because that was very encouraging. And God, if Carlos Rodon could just be a real person and pitch, and like the what he's capable of, that's a really fun 1-2-3. And if Nestor gets his head on straight, that's a really fun 1-2-3-4. And Domingo's honestly been whatever. I mean, he's an asshole, a giant asshole. And they almost have to be so worried about Domingo Germán, because the next, if he gets this again, the sticky substance thing, it's a 50-game suspension. And you can't replace him on the roster. So they would have to just go 50 games with a 25-man roster. That's bad. It's not whatever. Losing Domingo Germán is, you can, you know, whatever. But being down a man on your, you know, when you're using so many bullpen guys, that's what's concerning. So like, the Yankees almost have to like police Domingo Germán here and be like, buddy, get this shit off your fucking hand. Smart enough. Because we just can't have this guy be spending 50 games. Can't happen. So he's concerning me. And he's pitched all right, but
he's pretty overall good. The rotation. Domingo Germán is pretty good.
He is. Yeah, he is. I don't really understand how he's so good, to be honest with you. Like, his stuff isn't blowing you away, but I think I said this, Tommy, when we were on the Barstool baseball show with Carl, his pitch count is always in check. Like, he threw four innings yesterday.
He's that one, by the way. I seem to miss that episode as Carl just hates me.
I don't know. Yeah, I saw that. We were invited.
I saw the Short Porch boys.
He said, because you don't like Anthony Volpe.
Well, Carl just doesn't like me, I think. I don't need an apology video from me either, because no one needs that again.
Oh, there we go. Bullpen. Moving on real quick. Before, I think we should do a trust tree real quick. But first, Michael King is a beautiful man who has just turned into one of the best pitchers in baseball. When he comes in, he destroys people. He destroys lineups. Like, he has become so good. And it's nice that we just haven't fully cursed someone who's like come on the show recurring times. Yep. Clark's had his struggles. You know, Luke Voit came on. He got DFA'd by the Brewers or whatever. Like, you know, Clint Frazier did. He's on the White Sox, sure. We haven't had the best.
Clint Frazier changed his name.
He's back to Clint.
Oh, he's back to Clint?
Someone sent me a blurb, because I screenshotted him. Like, he was playing Jackson, a day game for the White Sox. Yeah, he was going by Jackson. Apparently, that was a joke that just went on too far, and he didn't really mean it to become Jackson. So that also makes me think.
I would have respected the shit out of it if he just changed his name.
Yeah, but I think he's back to Clint. But yeah, what I'm saying is, when you come on the show, not the best of luck, I feel like. Michael King has been awesome. Good for, and I'm so happy he's healthy, and he didn't need anything severe surgery in the offseason. He helps this bullpen so fucking much. He helps this team so much. There's no set closer role, I guess, right now. But man, is he fucking good. So I would imagine he would be everyone's number one on a trust tree, right?
Yeah, easily. I mean, he's amazing.
He's something else. Definitely.
Okay. And his numbers are this good with, and I feel like, didn't he have a bad start? Like, his first couple outings weren't good, right? If I remember correctly. His first outing, he allowed two runs, allowed four hits in the next outing. So ever since then, it's just been pretty smooth sailing.
Yeah, take out the Barstool, the ballpark night against the Rays, where he gave up three. Yeah,
we did curse him.
We did kind of curse him there, but like, yeah, I mean, if you take out the first game you're talking about, we're looking at a 1.33 ERA. Just, that's great. I mean, it's 188 on the year, which is very pretty. Good for him. So he would be everyone's one.
There's a clear two to me.
It's Wandy.
It's Wandy. Wandy's unbelievable. He is a clear number two. Like,
that guy fears nobody.
When you're in a pinch, I want him in there. Like, I don't care if it's base load, no outs. Like, it's Michael Kim and Wandy Peralta. That is it. Yeah, I want those two guys.
Am I misremembering? I don't know why last year's playoffs are kind of a blur to me. Closing games in the playoffs last year?
It wouldn't shock me. I'm pretty sure he was.
Game five, like at home.
Let's see. Postseason game log.
Yankees.
He saved game four in Cleveland.
Not game five, too?
Not. He pitched in game five. Oh, I guess. We were up 5-1. So he, it wasn't a save, but he came in the
right. He was the closer or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not.
And then against the Astros, we didn't require a closer.
Didn't need him.
but yeah. He definitely did that. Good memory. Wandy, there's an assurance when Wandy comes in that, like, everything will be all right. He doesn't fear any situation, so he would be two.
He'd be two for safe.
Would he be two for you, Tommy?
Yeah, he's two for me.
Okay. From here, it kind of...
I mean, I think the next two are obvious. Maybe you could flip them. I'm going to flip.
Yeah.
But I think that they're a clear...
I go Ron three.
Clay Holmes four.
Yeah, that's fair.
Definitely.
Yeah, honestly, Ron has had weird
three or four.
Ron has had weird moments, but then like he came in last night and just fucking obliterated Julio and Kalenic when like the Mariners had like a little bit of momentum.
Crazy, but he's got like a 4 ERA, right?
Ron?
Yeah.
But like it's kind of fake.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's not like the prettiest like stat.
It's a 4 ERA.
Yeah, he's been getting dinged up in May, but I still trust him more because I just trust him to throw strikes more. Like Clay Holmes, I could still see coming in and like not being able to throw strikes.
Yes, me too.
Ron had like a weird middle of the month in his last six appearances. He got a 2.25 ERA, which is fine, more than fine. Opponents batting 0.80 against them. You trust Ron. He's just more consistent than Clay. While Clay has kind of righted the ship a little bit here, it can get really bad really quickly. So that's why he's four. And then from here, it's kind of just – is Ryan Weber five?
Ryan Weber is five.
Ryan Weber has been awesome.
The next two.
You know who I kind of like?
No, don't say it.
I kind of like Jimmy Cordero.
I have no trust in that
Jimmy
guy.
Jimmy Cordero stinks.
I have no trust in Jimmy Cordero.
It's a good – it just might be – I think maybe I'm thinking of, like, Francisco Cordero. Like, it just is, like, a reliever name to me.
I think just because the last three games he's let up four runs, and I've just been – I've hated him for that.
It was the Baltimore game.
I got to be honest. 3.47 ERA is way better than I would have expected for Jimmy Cordero.
He's had us take out the Baltimore game where he imploded a couple days ago, and he's had a great month.
I'm glad you guys have realized who the worst person is on the team.
Albert Abreu.
The fucking worst.
It is funny, though. Whenever he's on, he looks like Pedro Martinez, but he's just like – the whole idea of the trust tree is like, you can count on this guy. I can't count on Albert Abreu.
You don't know what's coming out of that hand ever.
Never.
You know, if he wasn't hurt, I would have Ian Hamilton pretty high up there.
Ian Hamilton has been awesome. Sucks he's down for probably a month. Although Canley's going to shoot to probably five when he gets here.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Tommy Canley.
It's going to be great. He's been blowing people away in the minors. I think he's got one more appearance, and then he's here. He's probably back for the Dodgers series. That'd be my guess.
The Yankees got themselves a weird fucking team.
Weird. Yeah, I know.
Ryan Weaver, Jimmy Cordero out. Like, they don't really have a closer. Like,
I like not having like big names in our bullpen. Like, I love like Chapman.
I'd like a few better guys.
No, I don't. Because what? Like, our bullpen's fine.
Is Efros out for the year?
Yeah. Yeah. That. He's another fake guy.
Another special too.
There is there. Well, we have him for like four more years, so I guess like whatever. But a dude who's called up, he hasn't pitched yet, probably gets in tonight would be my guess. Matt Kruk, he is a lefty.
What happened to my guy?
Greg, what happened? He's your guy.
Well, I DM whenever I DM'd him.
Yeah, that was tough.
Got sent out.
That was tough. But Matt Kruk, lefty, like, wipeout guy. I don't know. But I want him to get in a game. He's a lot of fun to watch. He strikes out a million people. He has, in the minor leagues this year, it's the minors, 17 innings, 34 strikeouts. So
that's very good.
I would like to watch him pitch.
He could be like another like newer, hopefully better Lucas Lickey.
Oh, but like way better stuff.
Yeah. Like Lucas, just like, I'm saying like lefty out of the pen who like comes up kind of old and is hopefully pretty good.
Yeah, sure. I'm down for that. Higher upside, but yeah, I'm down for that. Okay, so I feel like we're kind of in agreement for the most part on these guys. On our trust tree was King, Wandy, Ron, Clay. Is Weber our five? Did we go Weber five?
I went Cordero.
You went Cordero. I think I go – you know what? No, I can't go Weber. I can't do that because I don't trust – he looks like a position player pitching when he actually pitches.
He looks like a guy who should be mowing his lawn somewhere and just enjoying a nice Saturday. He should not be on the mound on fucking Yankee Stadium.
In big moments, the Blue Jays just couldn't hit him. It was the funniest part of the whole series. The Blue Jays just had nothing for Ryan Weber. Okay, I guess I'll go by default Jimmy Cordero 5, but like I really don't trust. Like I think he's just the guy the Yankees are forcing to like make work. Like I don't think this is a good fix. I'll go Kruk 6.
You guys might make me become a Jimmy Cordero guy. More Jimmy Cordero respect than I might have. I'm not there yet. Like, because when I make someone my guy, it's a big honor. I'm not putting him there yet, but he's on the radar.
Okay. I go Kruk 6 because I don't know. There's high upside there. Weber 7 and Albert Abreu 8. I just won't trust Albert Abreu ever. No chance. And other than that, did we cover everything? I guess we did. We're going
to
try.
I wanted to say that I love Aaron Boone this year.
Oh,
I do like how much he's getting thrown out of games.
Me too. Yeah, it looks funny. Like he's not just saying everything's going to be okay. It's just like, let's show us a little fire, Aaron. And I've liked him a lot.
I will say the last game he got tossed from, that umpire was so bad that like, and any man, it just happened to be in the run of like he had been tossed in like three of the last 10 games, but like any manager is getting tossed for that guy strikes home. That guy had never seen a backdoor breaking ball call for a strike in his life. That guy should be in prison.
But yeah, well, I've liked him.
He's ruined some games, but
yeah, but that's Booney.
Yeah, that's just Booney. But like, hey, he's had some fire, so I appreciate that. The running narrative, it was funny. I think the day before he was asked about being ejected, and he goes, yeah, I got to calm it down. And the next day, he was tossed. It's just like.
Maybe he just doesn't really like managing. And he's just like, I just want to fucking be done for the day.
That's what I would do, dude. If I was like, just not feeling today, just get thrown out. Because people also love when you get thrown out. Like, it's never like, oh. What? It's like, because sometimes in basketball, you get a T, it's like it fucking ruins you. Like, in baseball, nothing happens.
Right, right, yeah. Right. It's not like you get an automatic out or.
Nothing.
Either play down a man. Yeah, that's true.
I have one major league question. Do you think that the Oakland A's would win a Triple-A championship?
They beat the Braves last night.
I understand. It was also Sunday Night Baseball Braves.
I know.
Soroka. Was it Soroka? No.
Who
was
it? Yes.
First time pitching in a while. Do you think they can win? And I don't think they would, because this is not like when people ask, what could Alabama beat in the NFL? Like, that's college and NFL. This is professional baseball players. Like the Orioles organization can beat the A's 1,000%. They are on pace for 32 wins.
I think the better question is like if they played, because I mean playoffs can be like finicky. Like I think you know maybe the Yankees, like there's team if they played a full season at AAA, would they have the best record in the league?
I don't think they would.
That's
at all.
The question, and I
think
don't
they'd
know.
Be in the middle of the pack, because you wouldn't even know if the whole AAA team from the A's came up to the A's right now. You wouldn't even blink an eye, being like, "This is the A's to play the entire time."
They couldn't be worse.
Yeah,
32 wins is out. Is that the lowest ever?
Like to this point,
that would be yeah.
Yeah, negative 194 run differential. Yeah,
they're on pace for minus 500 something run differential.
The second lowest is the Royals at negative 69, and the A's are negative 194.
Yeah, it's not like they're losing close ones.
No,
they're getting their shit kicked in every night.
And then meanwhile, the entire American League East is positive run differential. These guys are negative 194. Yeah, they have, what, three major leaguers realistically on that team?
The guy Rooker is pretty good.
He's cooled off, though, which is why they've had nothing. But, yeah, Rooker, I guess, who else is on? Oh, Lovelady is a good reliever for them. He's probably going to get traded in the
J.P. Sears?
I don't think he's really done a whole lot. He's at 4.7 ERA. Waldichuk has done nothing for them. I guess that kind of softens the blow of Montas not pitching, as those guys like aren't lighting the world on fire. But
I mean, you literally just look at, like, I'm on the Score app. Their first three guys are Sears, Waldichuk, and Caprillion.
Mason Miller was good. I think he got hurt, but he was yeah.
But
he
this is
sprained
a fun,
his
bad UCL. Team. Like, if you're gonna be bad, be this bad. Like the yeah. Royals are like just the Royal. The Royals are looking. Everyone's looking past them. They are so bad. And everyone's like, just because the A's are that bad, they get a pass.
Yeah, that's true. Nats are sneaky, not as bad as I thought they'd be. Nats are like,
there's
only
a lot
nuts.
Of teams that are better than like the Diamondbacks haven't fallen off.
No,
at all. They're playing.
Corbin
well.
Carroll's awesome.
Like the yeah. Rangers are also really good. Like Nathan Eovaldi's like unbelievable.
Yeah, you know what? A little assuring once we got complete game shut out by him, but like he just has. Kept doing that.
They have the best yeah. run differential, like better than the Rays.
Yeah, they're nine more than the Rays. They are very, very impressive, and they only have DeGrom right now, and they were missing Corey Seager for most of this. Rangers are very good. And I am excited for them to play the Astros, though. Like, I don't know. I still think someone asked me this like the other day, like, who's the team to beat in the AL, Rays, Rangers? I still think it's the Astros, just because, like, I think they'll just get it together. There's so much time for them to figure this out until October. That like
it's
you know,
100% is the Astros.
Yeah. Now, like, is their rotation the same? No. Like, you're not getting Verlander. Like, Framber's the one, and like after that, it's like Hunter Brown.
You're
like
facing Alvarez, Bregman, Altuve, Tucker in the playoffs. Like in that
it's a
line,
nightmare.
They just turn it on.
It's an absolute nightmare. But yeah, I'm interested to see when those teams start to. I think they've only played one series. I think Texas won the series, but when they start to play each other, like they've got what three or four more series to go here, so. That'll be fun. Other than that, we're probably going to do another brush to the ballpark. I think we're aiming for the Cubs series. So pencil that in your calendar if you're looking to go. It was a fun time. First one we did. We were in the Jim Beam suite, and it was a good – like, very – people come up to me like, this is a great deal. So, yeah, you thought it was a little pricey, and it probably – it's a little pricey. But if you're coming to the stadium anyways, you're going to spend money on concessions, all this.
It ain't pricey. For a ticket and free
yeah, it's pretty good.
And drinks. And yeah. We got there at – we also got there at 5:30 and drank for free until 8:30?
Yeah.
I had like three dinner. Like it you will literally make a profit in terms of how much you're going to drink the seat and the food. It's more expensive than other years, yeah. But it is way more value. Like way more value.
Yeah, so I think we're shooting for July 7th against the Cubs. I believe that's what we're shooting for. That or the 8th, one of those 2 days. So, yeah, that's during our week off, actually. It's towards the tail end. But we couldn't make anything work before that. I have a lot of fucking weddings to go to in the next sickening amount of weddings to go to here. So, but yeah, West Coast trip, finish Seattle. Won't be easy. They got Gilbert tonight and Kirby the next night. And we have Cortez and Schmidt, two guys who you can't really rely on too much right now. And then a big series at the Dodgers. Always fun. Like, it feels like important when the Yankees are playing the Dodgers in LA. Like, those just seem like fun matchups. And Cole is pitching Saturday night in Fox, so that will be huge. And yeah, and then eventually play the Red Sox. Haven't played the fucking Red Sox this year. That's stunning. Yeah, so that's those are coming weird. Up. Yeah, we don't play. We play a two-game no, that's not true. Three-game series against them June 9th through the 11th. And then we go to Boston June 16th through the 18th. So back-to-back weekends to start June really here where we're playing Boston. So we get right into it. And they're feisty. They got a good offense. Their pitching comes and goes. But, yeah, they're fifth-place team realistically here.
That honestly could be a reason, too, why I feel like I don't have a good read on this team. Is like, I feel like you get a good read on Yankee team after a couple series with the Red Sox.
That's fair.
You see how they handle that. It doesn't matter if they're not, you know, Red Sox aren't very good, but it's still the Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, and interdivision. Yeah, they haven't played the Astros yet. But they're 3-4 against the Rays. They're 3-3 against the O's. Just like, yeah, it's tough to gauge. Like, what is this team? They played the Blue Jays well, but. That's just their last place at the moment. When they're in disarray. They're going to fire their manager probably soon. So, yeah, I guess through 2 months, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. So that's our update for you. But figured, you know, people always get on us in the TikTok and Instagram comments. Where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? So here's your podcast. Here you are. Hope you're entertained. Keep following us on TikTok and Instagram. Continue to post on there. Appreciate everyone who has followed us and liked and stuff. It's kind of growing, which is fun. And that's it. You guys got anything else?
Nope.
Great. All right. That's Short Porch. We'll see you back here next time. Later.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money.